The Adelaide Fringe comes to a close this Sunday, but before then, there is still so many great shows to get along and see. And why not support some great Australian comedy, particularly when this one has a personal recommendation from our own Molly Rose. His name is Dan Muggleton. He joins us. Good morning, Dan.
Hey, hello. Good morning. obviously, a time when every comedian shines. Good morning. I love it.
Now, I went to see your show through a recommendation again and had no idea who you were. All I knew was that you were the guy in the tracksuit. And yeah. About halfway through, I was like, this guy's really good. I want to get him on the show. But then I started getting the nerves of, am I going to have the courage to ask him to come on?
Yeah, I mean, I felt that at the end. You were very like, look, I'm so sorry, but I think you're very funny and I'd like to put you on my radio show. And I was like, well, this is incredibly rude. We can't be doing this. We can't be having this post show in the chat.
I always get like this, but I don't know what it is. I don't like talking to people after shows because I feel like a freak.
How are you at the post show chat, Dan?
Look, I'm improving. I initially wasn't great. Because I'm Australian, so receiving a compliment is like the most awkward thing you can do to me. Like, you know, I was raised right, I think is a technical term.
Yeah.
But like, so they come up and like, that was great. And I'm like, please don't make eye contact and keep moving. Like, that was essentially my approach. But now I'm getting better. I'm shaking hands because like COVID's a hoax in South Australia, I guess. I don't know. You can do that here. In Sydney, everybody's just like nodding curtly and then moving on.
People's ears are prickling up now. Talk to us about the tracksuit. I mean, one cannot knock you for comfort on stage, but what was it that drew you to that outfit in particular?
Well, I spent 2 years in the United Kingdom, which I think is the spiritual home of the tracksuit. Some Eastern European countries would be upset with me saying that, but I do think the British do it the most. And basically, if you're a comedian in the UK working the circuit, you ride this thing called the Megabus. Now, I know that makes it sound like a very fancy form of bus, but you would be surprised. And I would just wear the tracksuit on the bus because wearing jeans on it was an excruciating form of torture. And then I eventually got sick of changing into the jeans at the show.
Fair. Absolutely
fair. I was like, look, tracksuit it is. And then I brought that. Well, the weird thing was I never used to wear the top on stage. It was just the bottom. And then I was like, because I just felt a bit like I was trying a bit hard, you know. Again, Australian, trying hard, embarrassing. Should never happen. Never try. That's the worst thing you could do. But then it's going to sound like a name drop, and it is. I did. My friend Amos Gill, an Adelaide local, another great guy. You should come to his show as well. I opened for Jim Jefferies kind of based on his recommendation.
Yeah, awesome.
And I wore the tracksuit, and Jim called me tracksuit all night. And when I did the gig, I took the top off, and I came off stage, and he's like, what?
What have you done?
What do you mean? I was like, was the set bad? He's like, no, but like, who has a look until they get on stage? And I was like, that's good advice. I'll take it. So I've worn it ever since. But in Australia, horrific choice for Australian climates, I have to say.
Well, it was very cold on Saturday night, so you definitely had the right idea there. What made you want to be a comedian? Were you always this funny, or was it something that took you a while to kind of step into?
Look, I was this probably shocked Molly more because she's seen the show. I'm a law person. I went to law school and did all that stuff.
Right. Okay.
The tracksuit and the swearing kind of came later, but like. It was just one of those things where being a lawyer sounded really lame, and then being a comedian seemed like very low pressure at the time, and then like now I'm also married, so I'm like, damn, that law money would have been all right, hey. And like, you know, the silks, like the nice silks they wear, that's almost a tracksuit, you know.
Yeah.
It's all one color. They're doing the best they can.
Opportunity miss. We're talking to comedian Daniel Muggleton. His Fringe show, Oh More, Mr. White Guy, is still on until this Sunday. Dan, it seems like you've mastered comedy indoors, and you've also done it on the digital platform. You do the Ask Us Everything podcast with Steve Hofstetter. But at this Fringe, you're doing comedy outdoors at the Piglet at Gluttony. What
Piglet.
Is an outdoor venue like?
Terrible. No, it's It's weird. It's interesting in its own way because, like, look, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't mean to sound old-fashioned. A little bit of bricks and mortar, not the worst thing, you know? having walls, having a roof makes you feel like a garage, not a carport. But that's okay. Doing the outdoors thing is interesting because I do feel like, for some reason, I can get away with more. I don't know what that is, but what? Like an audience sitting on the grass. Well, they got chairs. Please don't think you're just sitting on the ground. Like it's a really weird agricultural tour of Adelaide or something. No.
Yeah. There get are out of your chairs.
There is a stage. There is a microphone. There's lighting. There's all that stuff. But for some reason, I think like I'm standing there in my shipping container, yelling at you about things that I find important that nobody really cares about. And, like, yeah, the audience is like, you know what, brother, go for it. Like, I think that's okay. If this is in a dark place with bricks around us, I think it's a bit serious. Maybe this is the beginning of a movement. You're about to write a manifesto. We're uncomfortable. But with the backyard vibe, like, that's just an uncle cutting loose at a barbecue. That's all right.
I feel like one of the best moments of your show was when you referred to the seats we were sitting on as, you know, these have been stolen from some school assembly hall. And I just looked around and was like, damn straight they have. Now, you've got four shows left at the Piglet in Gluttony. Are you going to be shaking things up for the last run or?
Honestly, like my set changes every night. Based on, I don't know, I'm trying to get my point across to you guys, and like if it doesn't work, it changes. That's the main thing.
So, oh, that's cool.
Because like you know, it's a conversation, right? Like I'm not coming here with a show. Like my show isn't a show. Other shows, there's structure, there's notes, there's sound cues. Some people have costume changes. Like that's crazy. I'm just yelling at you for 55 minutes and like whatever stick. And if you like a certain topic, I'll keep going. Like I don't know if you can tell. Like I'm not short of opinions.
When you're writing a show, I'd imagine there'd be a lot of inspiration that comes in. And then, as you said, you kind of build on that. One of my best mates is a comedian. And sometimes he'll just ring me and be like, all right, I just got to try a bit. And he'll just spiel through and just wants to know whether it's going to land. And he obviously does that with a bunch of different people. Do you have any sort of techniques like that when you're working on a show?
I'm the other guy. I'm the guy who gets called. I'm in your position. All I do all day is just answer phone calls from comedians being like, Dan, how you going? That's great. Anyway, I got this bit. And I'm like, okay, thank you so much. And then they tell me the bit and, you know, I try and help them with it. And then if it's something that I'm like, wait a second, I got an opinion on that too. Then I write down my opinion.
Yeah.
And then I've got a slightly different bit. And that's a nice time. But one of my favorite jokes in the show is actually, I was hanging out with this other comedian, Dane Simpson, who's here as well. He's an Aboriginal comedian, and we were hanging out in Sydney. And I pointed out the Aboriginal flag to him, because I'm a very sensitive fellow. And I won't ruin the whole joke, but basically, he said something so funny when I did that. And I'm like, you have to do that on stage. And then he tried it, and the audience wouldn't laugh. Because they're guilty white people and he's an Indigenous Canadian. So he's like, Dan, why don't you give it a go? And I did, and they laughed because they were like, oh, you're an idiot. And there's this wise Indigenous man that's telling the story to us. And basically, it's my favorite. It's my favorite thing in the world because it's the exact same joke, and we both tell it, and they won't laugh for him, but they'll laugh for me. So now I get to do it in the show.
Well, if you want to catch professional sounding board and comedian Daniel Muggleton, his show O'More, Mr. Wide Guy, is on at the Piglet at Gluttony until this Sunday. Get your tickets at adelaidefringe.com.au. Molly's review is not on that website, but maybe we can sort that out. Dan, great to chat to you, mate.
Thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate it.